11:35 to play. In overtime, pressure coming. Maddox turns and throws. It's intercepted! Pushing Mathis has got it. He's going to the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Jaguars, they beat the Steelers!
What a play by Rasheen Mathis.
Ben Barchoff with signals and calls for the waist-high snap. He's got it. Jaguars rushing for. He's got time, and it's intercepted! Mathis has got it. He's going back the other way at the 40-yard line. Looking for a block. He's got it. Rasheen down the sideline. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown, Rasheen Mathis!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony in the fold at 1010XL World Headquarters. Tyler Devitt licking his Indiana Hoosier wounds from over the weekend. It's all right. You know, it happens, man. My team hasn't sniffed the NCAA tournament in a while. So, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not, I'm not upset that Tyler's team lost. Let's put it that way.
How's the, that's just how you are, though.
How's the Flagler basketball team?
Well, hey, now, you see, now, that kind of a shot makes me even more glad that Indiana didn't win again in the NCAA tournament. But, we don't play NCAA Division I basketball, but still undefeated in football, baby.
So. It's all right. There's always baseball season for all those Cubs fans who think this is the year. They're all convinced this is the one.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. At least Indiana's had some success. When's the last time they won a title?
1987.
It is 87. That is the last one.
I haven't seen one in my lifetime. I haven't seen one yet.
So you're used to it then. Used to that and the Cubs and the Hoosiers.
I'm used to teams that are full of heartbreak.
Who else did you grow up rooting for? So just so we know no one is going to have success with them.
I grew up as a Bears fan.
Okay.
So that was terrible. Rex Grossman was the best quarterback in my childhood. That's terrible.
What's terrible is that your childhood included Rex Grossman as a Bears quarterback. Damn, he's young, Tony. And I'm jealous. All right, and what else?
I grew up as a Cubs fan, so that's no explanation needed. I grew up as a Bulls fan, but their last title was 98, and I was only 6, so I couldn't really thoroughly enjoy the Michael Jordan years. Let's see, what else?
Are you still a Bulls fan?
Still a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
So Derrick Rose has broken my heart time and time again.
Yeah.
The Cubs always break my heart every year. Indiana always gets...
Indiana for college football, college everything, right? It's your school.
It's terrible to be an Indiana Hoosier fan. It's terrible. So
hey.
I'm used to having... Now I'm a Jaguars fan, and I'm just trying to add more misery to my life.
Oh, come on now. It's your fault. That's what it is. It could be the curse of Tyler, Tony. I'm not sure how that all went. How was your weekend? I know you haven't... A surprising revelation that you haven't seen BVS.
Oh, I know. I was busy this weekend. Just didn't have a chance to get out there and get to the theater and see it, with it being Easter weekend and family stuff and all that stuff going on. So I'm going either this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon to go see Batman vs. Superman at the IMAX out in St. Augustine. But I had a good weekend. It was fun, you know, hang out with the family. I know you had a bunch of family in town as well.
Oh, my gosh, did I have a bunch of family in town.
How many people were in your house? Because I've been to your house, and I can't imagine that place with much more than, like, 7 or 8 people
in
it.
Well, you know, I got my sister and her husband and 3 girls, right? My 3 nieces are all, they're staying there, you know, for a few more days.
So that gets you up to 8.
That gets us up to 8.
This is about the limit that I could see in
that
place.
Now, what happened was my cousin Audrey, her dad's brother, which is her uncle and his wife, her uncle and aunt. I've never met them before. Uh-huh. They were going to come through with them on Saturday, and they skipped ahead. They were staying in Jacksonville on their way back up north, and so they were tired, the aunt and uncle, so they didn't come by. So that took 2 off the plate, but we had Audrey and her husband Tracy and their 3 kids. So there's another 5 on top of that. So we're up to 13 in the house on the weekend. And that's just the way it rolls, man. It's family. You know, it's all good.
It's kind of fun.
You know, my grandmother on my mom's side was one of 8 brothers and sisters. So had a bunch of family branches off that side. My dad had 7 brothers and sisters as well. So he was one of 8. And they all have a bunch of kids. And they're all Catholics. And they're all, you know, reproducing at rapid rates. Oh, so. Yeah. They're all over the globe.
It's one of those where you just get in the house and it's just noise.
I don't mind that.
That's okay. For a couple of days, it's fine. And you realize how much you appreciate silence as soon as it's gone.
I'll say this, in case they're listening online, I love you guys. Little Molly, a 4-year-old, was a terror. Okay. When she wasn't happy, nobody was going to be happy. And it made me just really appreciate how easy it was to raise my son. I don't know if people say boys are a lot easier than girls. I don't think most boys are as easy as my. My son is pretty damn chill. Right?
And, yes, he is.
He really is. And so, you know, count your blessings if you get an easy one to raise, at least through the first nearly 12 years of his life, Tony. I don't know if I can count on it going forward once he hits those teenage years. Today, the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this. We talked a lot about what you do with the fifth pick, what you do later in the draft, who are some of your favorite targets, would you consider trading down? What about trading up? Right. What about trading up? An SI, I think it was Chris Burke on SI, had a mock draft last week that projected the Jags trading up. But it was not a bad deal. It was like flipping a third for a fourth kind of situation. You know, like a high third for a high fourth, I think it was. It wasn't that bad. And still, it's a round worth of value in the middle of the draft for a two-spot move. But in that mock draft, they grabbed Miles Jack. So the question of the day is this. How good would you be with the Jaguars trading up in this year's draft, obviously losing some of their draft capital in the process, and then what would you be willing to pay to make that move, be it one, two, three, or four spots up the board? And you may say, well, we're never going to trade with Tennessee, and that's fine. Whatever move secures you, if you're a Miles Jack guy, if you're a Jalen Ramsey guy, or a Joey Bosa guy, or whoever you are, whatever move would guarantee you getting your guy, how much would you be willing to pay to facilitate that move? You can share your thoughts with us today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. Also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. And also we'll get into the future of Luke Jokel here in Jacksonville, the strong safety competition looming for the Jags between Jonathan Cyprian and James Sample, all that and plenty more as we kick things off on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Here's what I would say with Wiz. I think he's done a really good job coming in, and we had some issues with our offensive line and the number of pressures and the protections and the things going on up front. I think he's done really a good job with that. He came in and he calmed that down. They looked to him. He calls all of our protections, and we've done a much better job up front with that, and along with the coaching that's taken place. So, I give him a lot of credit for that. And, I think he's improved, too, as we've seen the year go on. So, you know, I really have come to appreciate him.
That's Gus Bradley, Jaguars head coach, talking about the job Stefan Wisniewski did in 2015 to anchor the middle of the Jaguars offensive line. Tony, I don't think he distinguished himself, you know, above and beyond, but at the same time, I didn't feel on a week-to-week basis, oh, damn, Wisniewski's going to blow it again. You know what I mean? I thought he kind of was adequate and just okay.
He was okay, but he could also be one of the central figures you point to why they lost to Tennessee up there. I mean, there were a couple times with bad snaps where...
True.
I mean, it cost them opportunities potentially to win some of these close games for a team that needed to find a way to win two more close games, and they're right in the middle of that divisional race.
Right.
So, look, I think he was an okay player for him last year. I think the way that they approached what was going on with Wisniewski makes sense to me because of how good they feel about Linder or Can playing that center position for them going forward. Plus, they already feel okay about Bowenko. I think if they had to play Bowenko at center, they'd be all right with that as well. So why go spend the money to bring Wisniewski back when he was just okay for you last year and you feel like you may have something better than okay here on your roster, that position for you already? Now, if you brought back Wisniewski, that means that you have the whole line intact. That would be the intriguing part of it is, okay, Wiz is the center. We got our two guards. We got our two tackles. We don't know who the left tackle is going to be yet, but we know it's going to be one of these two guys. That would be the intriguing part about bringing back Wisniewski. But I think they feel good enough about the pieces they have to not feel the pressure to do that and let him go talk to Pittsburgh or whoever.
Right.
And if he doesn't get the money he wants, then maybe he does wind up here. Who knows?
Possibly. But, you know, look, I don't think it's, when you say, well, let's bring the whole line back intact, I'm not saying you're advocating that.
No.
I just don't think it's something you necessarily get excited about for a team that couldn't run the football and Blake Bortles took too many sacks last year. So now you're starting to, hear more rumblings about Luke Jokel's place on the roster. Not only, this is a Ryan O'Halloran article, from last Friday, I want to say. I'm trying to look at the date right here. Saturday. Came out on Saturday. And he talked about with the arrival of Beach, and this is his opinion, the Jags should, he didn't say will, he said should decline to pick up Jokel's option for 2017. He's obviously under contract for 2016 already because he says the reason being he'd have trade value. If he didn't have that option on the back end, he says, hey, if you get to mid-August, another team loses their left tackle and is desperate for a replacement, the Jags could get a day two or day three pick in next year's draft and save some money against the cap. We'll talk about that here coming up in a minute as we go along. But if you'd like to get in this morning, 641-1010, the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships is this. How eager or okay would you be with the Jaguars trading up to secure the one guy? Now, you may say for you, you may say, I don't care. Give me any one of those three defensive players that we've all been talking about for a while, and I'll be happy with any of them. What if they don't feel that way? What if there's one guy? What if it is Jack or Ramsey or Bosa or any of those guys or somebody we're not even talking about, like DeForest Buckner, and they're afraid San Diego might take him? I don't know. I'm just, you know, throwing hypotheticals out there. But to secure the guy that they really love and they can't be sure is going to fall to them at number five, would you be okay with that? And what would you be willing to pay to make that move? Like, we'd all be willing to pay probably a seventh rounder or something like that. So it's going to cost more than that. The question is how much more and what range would you be comfortable with? Let's start with, is that Leo in Fruit Cove, I believe. Man, brother, let me tell you what. I don't wear them yet, but damn, maybe I need to get some glasses. I'm not sure. That's, whew, wow. Did you type in extra small font this morning, Tyler? Is that...
No, that monitor, I will agree with you. That monitor spot is really small.
Is that hard to read? Is that what it is?
Yeah, compared to the one in here. So you are getting old, but your eyes aren't that bad.
I am definitely getting old. Let's go to Leo in Fruit Cove to lead us off at 641-1010. Good morning, Leo.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got
Mike,
it.
Good talking to you, man. Listen, I wanted to talk about your question because I was just telling, is that Tyler Devitt I was talking to?
That it was Tyler Devitt, absolutely.
Sweetest name in radio. But anyway, before I get into that draft talk, it's funny you brought up the Joker thing, and I said I was saying this all last season. You don't have to get rid of the guy, and no, I wouldn't pick up his option. What you do is you see how he comes out and performs with this pressure on him. Like they said, maybe move him to guard, maybe move him somewhere else, maybe left tackle's not his thing. I'd give him another year and see what he can do. However, I told Tyler, I think he was reading my mind. I was just thinking last night, I wonder what the Jaguars move up. You've seen the Falcons do it with Julio Jones. I think they kind of gave away a lot for him. However, you know, everybody's saying how, you know, Jack, this is the year. You have to do it. This has got to be that breakthrough year. Yeah, Ramsey only would be my thing. And another thing is this. I would want to trade with the Cowboys because here's why. I don't want to trade with anybody in the AFC that you may have to play or maybe later on down the road say, oh, that was a bad trade because, look, Cleveland's getting us or now Tennessee's getting us. I think what the Cowboys are picking three. I don't know if the Ramsey would still be there, but Ramsey would probably be the only guy, and this is why. Prior to the combine, a lot of people had Ramsey coming to Jacksonville. Okay, they were talking about all the other guys, but after the combine, after they saw this dude was jumping 41 inches in the air and could broad jump 11 feet, pretty much flying, and ran in a 4.4. Yeah, everybody wants him now, and I would move up for that guy. And we've never seen Jacksonville really do anything like that. And I don't know how much money they have left from all of what they've spent so far, but I'd love to see something like that, and that'd let me know that they're real serious about, you know, moving forward. I like Miles Jack, but the injury thing scared me with him.
All right, you know? Leo. I got you. I appreciate it, man. You hit a lot of things there. Thank you for the call. First of all, Tyler Devitt, sweetest name in radio. For a minute, I thought he was going to say you're the sweetest guy to talk to on the phone. And
he is now officially my agent, by the way.
Leo in Fruit Cove. You got a new job, brother. All right, Tony. Well, first, they have made the move for Derek Harvey in the past. It's not unprecedented that the Jags have made a move high in the draft or to move up high in the draft. But
just haven't done it with Caldwell.
Right. Let's put all that aside. Doesn't matter if you have a long history of doing it or not a long history of doing it. Even if you struck out every time before, doesn't mean you're going to strike out this time. Or if you were successful on your picks every time before, that you're going to be successful this time. Each pick is its own thing. As far as that goes, you know, Jalen Ramsey, if that's your guy, I don't think he makes it to five. I think there's very little chance. I think a much better chance that Miles Jack makes it to five and a much, much better chance that Joey Bosa makes it to five. The way I feel right now, I may be wrong, but I'm trying to read the tea leaves like everybody else.
No, I think so too. And I don't know how much time you're going to have when it actually gets to draft night to wait and see. Because if the Jaguars could pick the way the draft is going to go, and they could go, okay, Tunsil 1, quarterback 2, and now we know we can get one of those three defensive guys, which is what the conversation has been this whole time, then maybe you say, well, this is the guy we really love, and if we only have to get from 5 to 3 to get the guy that we really love, what are we going to have to give up to go get that? But if Ramsey really is a guy that's in play at 1, right? If Tennessee really does have him at the top of their board, and that's if you you believe anything you hear this time of year coming out of anywhere in regards to that kind of stuff. But if he is actually number one on their board and they are seriously considering taking Ramsey at number one, and that's the guy that the Jaguars desperately want to get, well, what are they going to have to give to get from 5-1?
Right.
If that's the guy, I just don't know that it's going to be worth it to go to that kind of spot. But if it falls with offensive lineman, quarterback, and now you're talking about having to get to 3 to go get the guy you love more than those others, that changes the dynamic of that. Plus, you've already had those 2 picks off the board. You have a better idea of what's going to be available to you, what some teams have already done. But until it gets to 3, I don't see the Jaguars making any kind of move.
And you're probably right about that. But it does, to me, as long as the cost is reasonable, it doesn't matter what the spot is. I don't have a fear of trading with AFC teams. I understand some teams do. I think the NFL probably does have a degree of fear of trading within division first. Right?
Probably, yeah.
And then, you know, and again, the cost to go up to Tennessee wants a king's ransom. I don't want to deal with that, right? It's not worth it. So, you know, whether it's Cleveland or San Diego, I don't have an issue with facing them every 3 years or possibly more, depending on where you end up in the thing. It's just the way it is. And you can't go into it saying, what if we screw this up? What if we pick the wrong guy? You got to do it thinking we're going to pick the right guy. That's why you're doing it,
this
right?
This is our guy.
You got to be confident.
The idea is this is our guy. This is the guy we like the most in this draft. And if we're going to have the opportunity, if we have to give up something to go get the guy that we think will be the difference maker in this draft for us, then we're going to go do it. That's the idea that you have to have.
All right, let's go to Matt in Orange Park. By the way, we'll get more in Luke Jokel a little bit later. I'll save our commentary on that for coming up in a few minutes. But let's get Matt in Orange Park next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys, good morning. Love your show.
Thanks.
Quick thought is that I really have pushed back against moving up. Every team, you know, just hit talking about the Titans, the King's Ransom, every team in front of us is going to ask for a ridiculous asking price that I don't really see being worth it. I mean, I understand, you know, Jalen Ramsey's an awesome prospect, but are you going to really sell, you know, probably a first next year or sometime in the future? I don't think it's worth it. I've been preaching to move back, pick up an extra second, an extra third or something like that, and convince some team that, hey, you're really convinced on Goff or Wentz, whoever doesn't go to, come jump up in front of the 49ers or whoever is really, you know, going to take a quarterback. And move back, and you can still get quality player, you know, if you trade with LA at 14 or something like that. And it gives you a better chance to, you know, get more talent. And that's my thought.
All right. Well, that's fine. And, you know, I think a lot of people probably feel that way. I think it's less likely that they do that this year, Tony, than in past years. And they haven't done that in past years.
Sure.
Dave Caldwell does not want to give that. You're talking about a king's ransom, right? Well, if it's not worth paying what would be less probably to move from 5-3 than to move from, say, 14-5. It's going to cost more. If you're not willing to pay what it costs to move 2 spots right there, and granted, 3, the end result pick is higher, but the team at 3 only has to drop a couple of spots and probably would have a good idea of who they're going to land. Why would a team at 14 pay the price in this year's draft? Is there a guy that's going to be on the board at 5? Now, maybe one of the quarterbacks drives that. I'm doubtful that that's going to happen, but maybe that's the case, and you get lucky in a situation like that. But Dave Caldwell, Tony, he has told us he would rather have one great player than several good players. They need difference makers. They need impact players now. This team doesn't have, hey, let's draft 3 or 4 guys, and hopefully 2 or 3 of them will pan out, and we'll see how they go over the next few years. They need to win games right now,
sure.
And they need a guy that they can plug into the lineup and they think will make an impact in 2016.
And you're probably talking about it would be a San Diego team that if it does fall, offensive tackle, quarterback, 1-2. So they're sitting on the board at 3. Maybe Ramsey's their guy, but maybe they like Ramsey and Buckner basically the same.
Right, and they don't think Dallas will take.
Right. So they feel like they can go to 5, get whatever they're going to get from Jacksonville to go from 3 to 5, and they're going to get one of those guys. So even if Dallas says we're going to take Ramsey at 4, they're like, okay, we got Buckner. That's kind of who we wanted anyway. It would be that kind of situation. And as far as the King's ransom, look, everyone's going to talk about that at this point in time, how much it's going to cost to move to any of these top 5 spots. You're just going to be way too much. Well, there was probably some conversation about that in 2013, right? And the Jags, it went offensive tackle, with the Jags taking Jokel at 2. The Dolphins traded into the 3rd spot in the draft from 12. They went from 12 to 3 to go get Deion Jordan, which is obviously not worth it, and only had to give up their 2nd-round pick to do it.
Right. And that's 12-3.
That's 12-3. I'm not saying that this draft has the same value as the 2013 draft, because it certainly does feel like there are more players that everybody kind of wants in that top five or six right now. But that's what it took to get from 12 to 3 just a couple years ago. I'm not sure how much it's actually going to cost you when everything is said and done to move up two spots if we're talking 5 to 3. I just don't know what in the end it would be.
Well, and that's the thing. We're asking, what would the price you'd be willing to pay be? Here was from the article or the mock draft Chris Burke on SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com did last week. He said in a proposed scenario of the Jags trading up from 5 to 3 that they would flip picks in the third and fourth round with San Diego. They would give up, I think it was, or maybe a third and a fifth. It was going from 69 to 102. Like, so your third round pick, would that be your third round pick? I'm getting confused here. 69 might be your...
That's a full round.
Right. 69 to 102 is a full round. But that's a full round in the middle of the draft.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're giving up, like the Dolphins did, a second round pick and getting nothing back. You're still going to have the same amount of picks. You're just going to have that middle pick be a little later, and you're guaranteeing you get your guy. Now, still, some people might not want to pay that, but he cites in 2014, everyone looks at, well, the Bills moved up to number four and paid the ninth pick plus a fifth rounder and a first rounder the following year to do that. But they point out, then when Cleveland traded back to nine, they gave up a fifth rounder to move up one spot to get their guy from 9 to 8. So this is more comparable to that. 5 to 3 be a little more expensive. We're not saying it would just cost a fifth rounder, but there's no way Dave Caldwell is giving up this year's first and next year's first to move up from number five in this draft. Absolutely,
no.
Absolutely will not happen. So you don't even have to worry about that being a consideration. We're talking about, what if you gave your fifth overall and your third rounder or something like that? And in this case, Chris Burke is even proposing just a simple swap of picks in the middle of the draft might get that done based on kind of the chart and where things have gone in recent years. So anyway, if you want to get on that 641-1010, how keen would you be on the Jaguars moving up to secure the guy that they absolutely love? If there's one guy they really, really love and they fear he's not going to make it to them, and what would you be willing to pay? Also, we'll get into the future, if there is one, for Luke Jokel here in Jacksonville. I think there is, actually, and we'll discuss that coming up next as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, a Wild West Guns and Gold Money on Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, and you're listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I respect Deontay Wilder, Tony, because boxing's a sport, okay? Are you freaking kidding me? Hannah Storm is interviewing Brock Lesnar about WrestleMania.
Are they talking Final Four?
No, they're talking WrestleMania, Tony.
Because I'd love to hear Brock Lesnar's thoughts on Final Four.
Jeez, Brock, remember that time you had a cup of coffee in the MMA circles? I mean, honestly, is it Richard Deitch? I think that's how you pronounce his name.
He was with the Vikings, too,
the media
right?
guy.
Didn't Lesnar go to the Vikings for at least a camp?
Yeah. The guy who covers sports media for SI.com, he said he did a story on why SportsCenter is embracing the WWE, because they check the people who follow SportsCenter on Twitter, they look at what they talk about, and a lot of them talk about wrestling, right? They base it on hashtags and keywords. I bet a lot of them talk about politics, too. Donald Trump should not be on SportsCenter either, or for that matter, you know, I get Barack Obama does the bracket. If you want to have a candidate fill out a bracket, if Brock Lesnar were filling out a bracket of some kind right now, yeah, maybe. I don't know about, you know, do you want to have Hillary on there talking about the upcoming Montana caucuses, or I don't even know if they caucus, or you know the point I'm making here. Stop it with wrestling on SportsCenter.
Well, we should try to figure out, like, what we could get everyone who follows SportsCenter or listens to us to talk about that could potentially get them on SportsCenter. Like, what could we get started the conversation about?
Hashtag.
That would get you on with Hannah Storm. Who do we want on with Hannah Storm, and how do we make it happen?
How do we make that? Does it have to have, some loose connection to sports, I would think, right? Because,
yeah.
Like, cute puppy pictures are pretty popular, I think, in social media. Maybe more so on Facebook.
Puppies and kittens.
Those kind of things.
Cats.
Cat videos.
So we get her to interview, like,
Boo the dog.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe Boo the dog should be on there. The world's cutest dog. You've seen Boo, haven't you? Come on. Oh, good. I guess I don't complain when they do some of the, like, actor, comedian things on there, too.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of that's fine.
I guess. I don't need 10 minutes. I mean, this is turning into a long
sit-down.
What
is this Hannah show now anyway?
I don't know.
Is it seriously half an hour with her just sitting down with different guests?
It says SportsCenter face-to-face with Hannah Storm.
Before it was Brock, she had Patrick Ewing on. For like 5 minutes.
Yes.
But Ewing at least is a former NBA player.
Pat's got a little water weight
experience.
And a pretty decent one
and is currently connected to the Hornets. But, I mean, at least he's around the game.
At least he's an athlete,
yeah.
Man. I mean, come on. The guy. I mean, I'm not saying that Brock Lesnar's not athletic, but what he does is not a sport. That's all. That's enough. And we've given way too much time to it already this morning. Let me get Jerome on the West. I want to get to this Jokel stuff. We've got what Dave Caldwell told us a couple of weeks ago. We're going to play that for you, and we want to get into where we think he stands on this roster right now. But let's get the calls while they're rolling in, and starting with Jerome in this segment. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, man. How y'all doing this morning?
We're good. What's up, buddy?
I just want to say, I think it should stay at five, yo. There has to be more than just Jack Ramsey and Bosa in the draft that's going to be projected like stars. So I think it should stay, or if anything, fall back and gather more picks. And my other thing is, what pass rusher do you think, besides Bosa, would be able to make an impact on this team?
Oh, I think depending on who they get, where they can get them, there may be a lot of guys who can make an impact on this team because they don't have a lot of guys that have made an impact in that area.
You're talking about at five, number two on my list, maybe Shaq Lawson.
And I don't know if he's worth that spot. And so
that's why we talk about these three names so much, though, Jerome. It's the idea that if these three guys are gone, if it is Bosa and Ramsey and Jack and they're not available to you, then what are you doing at five? Because if you don't love anybody at five, who's to say that anybody else in the top 10 loves anybody at five anymore, right? Like, they're all waiting to see how it was going to fall to them anyway, and if they didn't feel the need to get up there and get one of these guys, then maybe they're more comfortable with what's going to be available to them than you would like them to be at that point in time. So who's going to really be in the market to try to get up with the Jaguars if they wanted to even trade back in that kind of scenario, which is why we have these conversations. I don't know what I would do. Honestly, if I got put in that spot and I had to make the pick, I'd probably wind up leaning right now with Shaq Lawson because I feel like he is potentially a guy that could help you off the edge, but how much? I don't know.
Yeah, and
I really don't know.
I think I do agree with a lot of the Jag fans who think that Noah Spence may be the best pass rusher out there, but a lot of people thought that about Randy Gregory last year.
Sure.
He had issues. He fell to the second round, and guess what? They were well-founded, those concerns, right? Because he's suspended now for the first four games of 2016 for a violation of the drug policy. So, you know, that's the concern with Noah Spence. Is this a guy who has gotten over that? He claims he has. Who doesn't claim that they've gotten over it, though? They all say that.
Yep.
What else are they going to say at this point in time, Tony?
Well, that was kind of the thing with Randy Gregory. He didn't say that. Randy Gregory got caught at the combine.
Right.
He failed the drug test at the combine, and he's like, I just really like weed. It's basically what Randy Gregory said. I really like weed. Now he went and did all the interviews. We met him when he was here in Jacksonville briefly, and he's a smiling guy. He's a nice guy, but he came across as a guy who this is not something that he's going to give up easy. And it didn't feel like a guy who understood exactly what he may be sacrificing to basically smoke weed when he wants to by being stupid enough to get caught at the NFL combine smoking it. It puts you in the program. They're going to test you when they want to now. And he got caught again after he falls to the second round and could have potentially been a top 10 pick. Heck, might have been a serious consideration for the Jags at three last year in the draft if he hadn't been doing what he was doing at Nebraska and then again going into the NFL combine. So character counts, especially when you're talking about potentially a top five pick. I mean, you need an impact player on defense for this Jaguars team.
Now, you keep in mind, they drafted Fowler last year, so they weren't necessarily going to go, you know, edge rusher back to back. But there were still, even with that, a lot of people were tweeting me as the draft was falling out saying, Jags need to grab Gregory here in the second round as he falls, and he fell well past that where the Dallas Cowboys were finally his landing spot. And I think it does show you in part that they concern themselves with the character of these guys and are they going to, you know, toe the line and be available to them. It's not, I don't even think it's a matter of a value judgment on the guy or a moral judgment on the guy. It's just a matter of pragmatism.
Yeah.
Will he be available to you on Sunday, and is he going to do the right things to stay available to you?
Look, I think based on the Jaguars' drafting history, especially early in the draft, the first couple rounds of the draft, that we've seen with Dave Caldwell and the way that they handle these kinds of off-field issues. They waited on Telvin Smith. They waited on Colvin because of the injury. It's not like they're not willing to take risks on guys, but they're not going to take them in spots where it could really put them out there. I do not see Noah Spence being the pick at five. Just cannot see that happening.
And I do see somebody taking a chance on him before the Jags' next pick comes up.
I would think so.
I think the door opens. It has to open in the second round if he's still there on the clock. Let's get Terrell on JTB right now. What's up, Terrell? Pay attention to the road, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning, you guys. How's it going?
Good morning. We're great, man. What's up?
That's good. Okay, I'm a diehard Seminole fan. I am. And, you know, and of course, I would love it if we could take Ramsey. But, I mean, if Hargraves is there at five still and Ramsey is gone, I don't see why not call up his number. I mean, Hargraves, he's a shutdown cornerback, and those are hard to find in the NFL. And I know these guys, you know, make the draft boards up, and they do the evaluations and project them. But if Hargraves is there at five, I say go on and call him up. I say go on and take him. We need that lockdown cornerback, especially for DeAndre Hopkins. We need him for that.
All right.
That's my opinion personally.
No, Terrell, we appreciate it. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, you got plenty of talent in the division. Doriel Green Beckham may be a beast to deal with going forward, right? You've got Prince Amukamara, Tony, as we know, in our one-year deal. I don't think they're completely comfortable with Colvin being, you know, one of their outside guys on a full-time basis at the moment. So you've got House, who's solid, I think. You know, he had his moments good and bad last year. You have right now Amukamara, but it's a short-term deal. I think corner is certainly in play in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
And could be in play at number five, depending on how things fall and how they feel about some of these guys. We assume that they like these guys that we're discussing as much as we do. I think they do when it comes to Jack. I think they do when it comes to Ramsey. I'm not sure when they come to Bosa. They could all be gone, though. And the thing about Ramsey that I wanted to mention with the last call in the last segment talking about him, you know, there seemed to be a lot of interest prior to the combine. Now it's skyrocketed. The interest here, though, you wonder if it's cooled because you got Tayshaun Gibson, and now you have to see Ramsey as a corner, I think, to draft him. I don't think you draft him as a free safety. You just committed to a guy in his mid-20s. That you don't want Tayshaun Gibson to be a short-term fix. You want him to be a long-term fix for this football team, and you think you have fixed that spot.
Yeah, and I think it also circles back to what the Jags were and weren't able to get done in free agency when we talk about this fifth overall pick. Because if they look, Olivier Vernon wasn't going to sign here. The money just wasn't going to be high enough for him to sign here in Jacksonville compared to New York. But if they had gotten Olivier Vernon, well, now you feel like you've added to that edge rusher spot. So now you're not sitting there going, well, if Joey Bosa's not there, what the hell are we going to do?
Right.
And do we need to go get Shaq Lawson or somebody else, you know, a Leonard Floyd? Is that the name that now you're considering at five if these other guys are off the board because you need to help that spot? And it feels like if they don't get somebody to help them at that pass rush at five, well, now you're talking about not getting it done in free agency, not getting it done at the number five pick. The first place you could potentially get it done is at the top of the second round, which I'm not saying that that's not going to help your football team. It certainly could still help your football team, but for a team that had that circled as the thing we need to get done this offseason, you're talking about potentially not touching it until you get to the second round of the draft.
Now let's get Jesse calling from Miami quickly before we break. Jesse, go ahead. You're on Jaguars Today.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks
for
having me on.
You got it.
Well, listen, I've been a Jaguar fan since 1995, the year he came out. And, you know, three things I want to get at real quick, and I'll sit back and let you guys come and think what I'm going to say or whatever. Listen, if you put on the tape of a Ramsey versus Willie Jackson dominate. He's a shutdown corner, zero tolerance in the air, and this guy just flat out better than Ramsey. But I don't see why people don't see that, though. And for number two, Greg Hardy, we should be picking him up. We should be bringing him in because this guy can flat out play. I mean, I know he's a trouble or whatever, but I mean, I believe in giving a person a chance after chance or whatever and to proving or whatever. So we can get him one deal of just as well as we gave in a way, Prince. If I'm saying his name right, I hope I am.
Yeah, no, we got you.
So we can bring him in. You know what I'm saying? And another thing also. This is nothing to do with the draft or whatever. It's two guys that's hurting us. And I wish everybody see this here. Josh Everest and Sergio Brown, these guys are flat out trash. These guys miss more tackles than a tackle could ever come their way. This guy falling to the ground, throwing his body around, clowning around, whatever. This guy does not belong to our roster. This guy is flat out trash. I get out there and let you guys.
All right, thank you, Jesse. You got a lot of things there quickly on those guys. Look, that's part of the reason they went out and got Tayshaun Gibson, right?
Yep.
We know, Tony, from talking to Dave Caldwell, he loves Josh Evans as a guy, right? As a just a gamer. And he's not the best player in the world, man. He's a sixth-round pick, okay? Nobody expected him to revolutionize the position. Sergio Brown was the fallback position last year.
Mm-hmm.
You continually try to upgrade these kind of things. The other points that Jesse made.
It was the first time, and I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to call and mention Greg Hardy. I want nothing to do with that
Neither
guy.
Neither do I, and I don't think they want anything to do with him either. I think you can put that one to rest. As far as Ramsey getting beat, I think his point was, as a corner, wasn't spectacular. That's what Tony Pauline kind of warned you. If he has to turn his back, which corners have to do to turn and chase,
yep,
he falls off dramatically.
Feels like
in
he's
his
a
play.
Safety.
If he can watch the field the entire time and be that back line of the defense, that's where he really excels. Well, you just filled that spot. So I'm not saying they wouldn't take him. I'm just saying the need for him is not as obvious as it was a while ago. All right, we got to take a break. Come back. This Dayton football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Coming up on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers. And now, this date in football history.
Tyler was having a rough two minutes.
Yay, there you go, Jinx. Tyler had a rough 2 minutes. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. You know, we could have gone out of sequence there, Tyler. It would have been fine. We would have rolled with it. It would have been all right. Note for the future. All right, this date in football history, Tony, 1963. March 28th, the AFL's New York Titans were renamed the New York Jets. And so there you have that. Also in 2002.
Did they dump those awful uniforms as soon as they changed the name, too?
The Titan uniforms?
Yeah.
They may have. I don't know what the sequence of the uniform dumpage was back then.
Did they immediately become gangrene?
I was not alive in 63, so I'm not a witness to history in that regard. So I couldn't tell you. I'll have to look that one up. 2002. Former NFL player Dexter Manley sentenced to 2 years in jail for evidence tampering. He had been convicted for attempting to swallow cocaine that he was carrying and then failed to meet with his probation officer. That's always a bad combination. Famous birthdays for this date. How about 1930? Joe Fortunato?
Whoa!
What? Joe?
1930?
He does not look 86 years old. Oh, wait. This is a different Joe Fortunato.
Oh.
And I clicked on him like, I never heard of this guy. He can't be any good. Five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro for Joe Fortunato. Played his entire career with the Chicago Bears as a hell of a player, apparently, and still alive and kicking.
One of Tyler's childhood heroes. Joe Fortunato with the Bears.
That's right. He goes back a ways. 1966, former quarterback and now current Dallas Cowboy head coach Jason Garrett, born on this date. 50 years ago. Former Jaguar now turns 29 years old. Toby Gerhardt's birthday is today. He was born in 87. Geno Atkins, the four-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle, the Cincinnati Bengals, born on this date in 1988. And Derek Carr, who will be heretofore compared to Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater for the rest of their careers, he turns 25 years old today. And, of course, he made his first Pro Bowl this past season, born in 1991. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Oh, we're doing it this time. The free agency flow has slowed to a trickle in the last week or so, but still some deals getting done. Former Los Angeles St. Louis Rams tight end Jared Cook, who was cut at the same time as linebacker James Laurinaitis and defensive end Chris Long a couple weeks before free agency opened, appears to be finally finding a new home. Cook is reportedly going to sign with the Green Bay Packers on a one-year deal. He'll be 29 years old in April, coming off a 2015 season where he caught 39 passes for 481 yards but didn't get into the end zone in a pretty stagnant Rams passing attack. Nick Fairley, also a former member of the Rams, going to sign a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. Former Baltimore Ravens linebacker, who I know I have been asked about in regards to the Jags for the last month or so.
Oh, come on.
Courtney Upshaw agreed to a one-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. Upshaw, the 35th overall pick in the 2012 NFL Draft. Here's why I had no interest in him. 5 sacks in his 4 years. 110 tackles in his 4 years in the NFL to this point.
The headlines when he signed were run stuffer Courtney Upshaw.
Yeah.
I don't believe we're looking for that right
now.
No,
I don't think so. Three former Raiders teammates of Ken Stabler have agreed to donate their brains to the Concussion Legacy Foundation in honor of Stabler after they pass away. George Atkinson, George Buehler, and Art Tom said that they will donate their brains to the research center after finding out that Stabler suffered from stage 3 CTE when he passed away last July.
All right, there you have it. That was this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. I had a text in on the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford, Tony, from our boy Short Dog out in Gainesville. What up, Short Dog? You don't have to text to Tyler. Although you can, it's fine. I mean, if you want, but he said, Tyler, ask the guys, what do you think about Todd McShay's mock draft 4.0, rounds 1 and 2? And he cited Short Dog from Gainesville, as he always does. And that way we know who it is. And so, we mentioned this. We really didn't discuss it last week, Tony. And we're not going to get deep into this now because there will be another update coming along in the next week or so, I'm sure. But he had Miles Jack fall to the Jaguars, which I don't think would... Honestly, how many people would be upset with that pick? He may not be the top guy on every single Jaguar fan's board, but he would be a resoundingly popular selection for the Jags.
I think so, yeah.
Right? Could you imagine? Imagine this. Imagine that it goes, I don't know, let's say two quarterbacks, Tunsil and Ramsey, are gone, right? And you've got your choice of Miles Jack and Joey Bosa, and they go for a guy that we've not even been talking about, right? There's going to be... it's going to be a murmur at that point in time. Tunsil 1, Carson Wentz 2, Jalen Ramsey 3, Bosa 4, Miles Jack 5. Love it. I'll take it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he followed up in round 2 with Mackenzie Alexander, which, as he points out, the one red flag, he says, McShay, 0 interceptions in 27 college starts. That's a pretty serious red flag for a cornerback, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get the sense that they never threw at Mackenzie Alexander in college. I'm sure he had to defend some balls coming his way, but he's considered by many to be a first-round talent. I know T-Wig likes him as the best corner in the draft, at least last time I heard him talking about it. He said he was his favorite guy at the position in the draft. By the way, T-Wig and Ryan O'Halloran are going to be in this spot next week. As you're off all next week, right, to go to Augusta.
Yeah, I'm heading up actually to Atlanta for opening day on Monday, as the Braves will be taking on Washington Monday afternoon, and then sticking up there in that area for Augusta. I'm getting to go to Augusta for the first time.
Are you going to like the regular tournament rounds as well, or what do you have tickets to?
I'm going Wednesday. So it's the par 3 contest, and it's that last practice round day.
Okay.
It's when I'll actually be on the grounds.
Are you going to pull a Stephen Gribben? Are you going to sneak off by the portalette and break off call and risk confiscation and expulsion?
I don't know. Like it's my first time up
That's
there.
That's a fat no, Tyler,
yeah,
by the way, in case you missed it.
Just on the outside chance that I ever would have the opportunity to go back, I'm guessing probably no.
Yeah, I kind of figured that might be the case. Cause, well, you don't want to be, because it'd be like 11 in the morning, right? You'd be checking in. And
yeah.
The rest of the day, the par 3 contest hasn't even started probably, and you're gone. Hey, sir, what are you doing? excuse me, patron. I wonder if they start rough-talking you, if they just call you like a customer at that point in time. Would that be rough talk for Augusta, right? You drop from a patron to a customer,
right?
Something like that. You have to pay like an extra dollar for your pimento loaf sandwich.
Something
that they're serving up there. But I think a lot of Jag fans, that doesn't address the edge pass rushing. You can't address everything, Tony. As we said, Prince Mukamara's here on a one-year deal. You got to need another good cornerback on this football team. Wouldn't shock me. I don't think it would shock you, any of us here, if they took a corner that they liked in round 2. So give me Jack and Alexander right now, and I'll skip ahead. I'll wait. I'll take a nap till round 3.
Yeah, I would take that. And right now, I'm just hoping that they have the opportunity to take one of those three guys at 5. Like, that's because I'm getting more and more nervous about it by the day. With RG3 going to Cleveland, what's really going to happen
with
that? Does Tennessee really like somebody more than they like Laremy Tunsil in this draft? I think, honestly, that it would be a mistake for Tennessee to not take the left tackle after drafting the quarterback last year. But if they don't take the left tackle, then what's going to happen with Tunsil? Is anybody in the top 4 outside of Tennessee going to take him ahead of us? If they did, then that may still help him out a little bit, as long as it's not Cleveland making that decision, which wouldn't make any sense with Joe Thomas still being up there. By the way, Tyler just texted and let me know that Adam Schefter is saying that Arian Foster will be visiting with Miami tomorrow, so maybe he'll find a spot in the NFL after all, coming off that Achilles injury. Apparently, they want to collect him down there in Miami with Arian Foster and Cameron
Wake. Well, I mean, for you fantasy football players out there, and particularly if you're in dynasty fantasy leagues and you're thinking, oh, Jay Ajayi. Clearly, they're not thinking
they
that.
They keep looking.
Because they kicked the tires on Alfred Morris. They signed C.J. Anderson. Now they're going the route of a guy who's – is Foster 30 yet or is he 29 still?
29,
right on that edge, right? But a significant injury with the Achilles. So he'll turn 30 in August, so he'll be 30 when the season kicks off for Arian Foster. But it does not seem like they're putting a lot of eggs in the Jay Ajayi basket, who fell to the fifth round last year out of Boise State. There was, you know, some talk that he could go in the first round. Was it spinal stenosis that he had? I want to say it was spinal stenosis, right? Yeah. Gronk had that too, by the way. That aspect hasn't bothered him, although he's had some different injuries up there in New England. That hasn't been one that's really limited him.
By the way, speaking of New England tight ends, did you see that Aaron Hernandez's home has been officially put on the market?
Has it now?
Yeah, I think it was like it's because of a civil suit or something like that. The court has ordered that it be basically sold.
Right.
I think the starting asking price was $1.2 million for the home, out of which Aaron Hernandez has murdered at least one person and is about to go on trial for murdering two others.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Do you care about that? Is somebody going to buy that? Are they going to get their asking price or? What?
I
have no idea, man.
I don't know. I mean, that kind of stuff, there's always somebody who's interested in something that kind of morbid.
Is
right?
There,
like, I mean, Trent Reznor recorded The Downward Spiral, probably Nine Inch Nails' most famous, most popular album of all time, in the Tate House, where the Manson murders occurred.
Oh,
like,
did he?
He rented out the space so that he could record that album
and
in that house.
I guess, all right, you rented out the space versus paying $1.2 million to buy the house and presumably live in that house.
But there's always somebody that's interested in something like that.
I suppose.
There could be some weirdo trying to open a museum or something weird.
Well, Urban Meyer spends a lot of time up there in Foxborough, doesn't he?
That could be his vacation home.
That could be his second home up there. You know, it's a nice place to stay when he's up there visiting Bill. That could be the way he wants to go. And, you know, he knows Aaron. Maybe he could talk him down a little bit. Hey, I took a chance on you, buddy. All right, come back. We promised you some Luke Jokel conversation, whether you want it or not. But we're going to get into it. Ryan O'Halloran suggesting that he'd like to see them trade Luke Jokel and get some draft picks for the 2017 draft. We'll get into our thoughts on that and what Dave Caldwell had to say about him. This is prior to signing Kelvin Beecham, but we'll hear about that coming up next. It's Jaguars Today. If you'd like to be a part of the program, 641-1010, both the phone in line and also the 1010XL text line number driven by Duval Ford. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. And the question of the day is this: how eager would you be for the Jaguars to trade up in the draft to secure the one guy they wanted, their top target on the board, and what would you be willing to pay as compensation to whatever team is sliding down a few spots? So you can weigh in on that as well, both on Twitter and Facebook. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, we've got a few interesting ones on the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll get to those coming up. When I say interesting ones, just a little interesting commentary. What have you heard, by the way, about Keanu Neal in terms of his draft range? I'm looking at
top second round, mostly.
Have you heard it that high? I'm looking at NFL Draft Scout, and they've got him rated as a 6th to 7th rounder. Because somebody sent in a projected, hey, what do you think about these seven guys in order for the Jags? And they had Neal as their 6th round pick, and my initial thought was, boy, I've heard a lot of positive buzz about him. That guy's not going to be around that late in the draft.
What I've heard about him is a guy that should be 2nd, 3rd round. I would think 2nd day.
I wonder if McShay had him. I didn't study the draft other than his mock draft. He did. He had him in the 2nd round, 54th to Minnesota. So, again, a guy who's very unlikely to be around. Most of the people on that list, which I'll read to you in a minute, I think are unlikely to be there when the Jags pick. So in that case, what do I think about it? Great value if you can get all those guys. Now, let's talk about Luke Jokel, Tony. Let's dial it back. This is prior to Kelvin Beecham being signed here. You and I sat down with Dave Caldwell 17 days ago. It was March 11th when he joined us in studio for a lengthy interview about a variety of things going on. This was after the opening few days of free agency, but we asked him specifically about where Luke Jokel fits in the plans. Here's what Dave Caldwell, Jaguars GM, had to say.
Well, I think with, when you take somebody with the second pick overall, there's expectations. And I was reading an article at the Combine about how teams have to be a lot more patient with their draft picks because, you know, some of these guys aren't ready. And you think about Luke Jokel, and we talk about how great A.J. Khan played last year. To put things in perspective for you, A.J. Khan is a month older than Luke Jokel. And A.J. Khan played his rookie ball last year. We would never make excuses for Luke. He's played some excellent games this year, played very good games. I think up until the last game of the season, he may have given up maybe two sacks all year for a left tackle. Pretty impressive. But then in the last game of the season, it was not very pretty, and I think Luke knows that. He was going against a couple of great players. But I would say that he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. I think he has a lot of room for improvement. I think he needs to improve, but I think he knows that too. And, you know, he's in here every day working out, getting stronger, and, you know, I think he's good enough for us to get to where we want to be, and ultimately that's a Super Bowl championship. But he has to get better, and along with everybody else.
All right, so that was what Dave Caldwell said. Again, this is prior to the signing of Kelvin Beachum, right? And to me, just hearing that, that sounds like they're not done with Luke Jokel, okay? That they feel that there's more to be explored. He hasn't reached his full ceiling. They weren't ready to commit to him having his option picked up, which I think May 3rd is the deadline for that to happen. Ryan O'Halloran wrote this weekend, Tony, as we mentioned earlier, and I'm going to read it verbatim out of his column from Saturday. He said, Jokel's value, the Jaguars must decide by early May whether to pick up Jokel's fifth-year option. If they do, his 2017 salary is guaranteed for injury only. But with the arrival of Beachum, the Jaguars should decline, says Ryan, to pick up Jokel's option for one reason. He would have trade value. Let's say we get to mid-August, another team loses their left tackle and is desperate for a replacement. The Jags could secure a day two or day three pick for Jokel in 2017, obviously, and the trade would result in a basically $3.4 million cap hit, but also a cap savings of $3.296 million, which is his salary this year. You'd still have the prorated last year's portion of his signing bonus that you'd have to account for the salary cap, but you wouldn't be paying you'd save the cash and you wouldn't, well, the cash is paid in terms of the bonus, but you save the cash on his yearly salary and that wouldn't count against you. To me, it's not like he's played fantastic, but because of that, somebody going to give you a second or third round pick for a guy who's got 1 year left on their contract?
Look, I don't know if anyone's going to give you a second or third round pick, and I don't know if having to make this decision by May on this thing, if I'm going to say, all right, let me gamble that the guy who's coming off an ACL is going to be the left tackle of the future for this team, too. That's the bigger issue for me. If you were getting a completely healthy Beachum and you felt like you knew what he was and you were bringing him in here, and the idea is Beachum's our left tackle, and we're going to figure out what's going to happen with Luke Jokel, but Beachum's our left tackle in 2016 and for the next 5 years. That's the plan with that position. But you can't have that plan in place. That's why they made the contract with Beachum the way they did, where they have that option to pick it up after the first year to make him that type of player for this franchise. But he's not there yet, and it would be really risky to me to say, we're going to bring in this guy coming off an ACL, and we're not going to pick up the option on a guy that we feel like is playing the position at least an adequate level for us and has some room to grow, and potentially after a year to have what? Have what? If Beachum doesn't work out, if the knee isn't good, and you don't know that till he gets here, and then you don't have that option with Jokel, well, now you're looking at going into 2017 with no tackle.
Right.
So I just can't see them doing that.
I don't see that either. And here's the thing. We sit here, and every player is different, and positions are different, too. I think there's more stress on a defensive end's knee than there is on an offensive tackle's knee. So that's granted. But we sit here and say, well, we don't know what to expect from Dante Fowler coming off a torn ACL. He's younger than Beachum. You know, not sure. Like Beachum's old, but he's younger. Okay, he injured it, Tony, in May. Okay, and we don't know what Fowler's going to give the Jags this year. Beachum got hurt in mid-October of last year. When is he going to be ready, and how effective is he going to be when he is quote-unquote ready? We don't know that.
They were hoping training camp.
They hope, and they cannot know that. That's why, to me, and I guess what Ryan's saying is you're not going to dump him. You're going to carry him into training camp yourself, and at which point, if Beachum wasn't panning out, then maybe you would be like one of those teams looking for a left tackle and you'd have him on the roster. I'm not 100% sure they're going to pick up the option. They may say, you know what, we're going to play it out, because here's one thing that could happen. Let's say Luke Jokel, they pick up the fifth-year option. It's guaranteed for injury only, and he gets hurt in June in an OTA session, and he's done for the year. Well, then they're on the hook for the following year's salary on top of that. So that has to be weighed out. But the amount of times they reference how young Jokel is and that they don't think he's played his best football, and yes, that last one was horrendous. And I don't think he was as good as they described in the prior 15 games, but they certainly described him that way, saying, sure, hey, he had taken major strides forward and had played
well. He was better than he was the year before.
He was better.
I don't know that you can argue a whole lot that he wasn't better than he was in 2014 and 2015, but that doesn't mean that he looked like a guy that was the number two overall pick.
I think Dave Caldwell ascribed two sacks to Luke Jokel.
That's what he said,
right?
In that comment.
Right, two sacks prior to week 17, the 16th game, the last game of the season last year. Now, you can't give up four, five, six sacks in a game, period, anytime. That's horrendous. That's terrible. Despite the fact that I agree with you that I think he played better last year, I don't think he played. He only gave up two sacks.
No.
Better. That shocks me.
No, and he didn't play well enough to not consider what we're going to do with this six-year option.
Right.
And he didn't play well enough to not consider what options do we have available to us in free agency to potentially push this guy. But I think you make those decisions. You go get Beachum instead of a guy like Osemele, who they didn't seem to have much interest in going after. You decide to go that direction because you feel like there may still be something there with Jokel. We're not done with Luke Jokel, but we know we have to get better. And if we can bring in a guy like Beachum, who's a cheaper option than some of the other guys that were available in free agency, he's still a relatively young option, even if he is coming off the ACL. This could be like a potential coup for the Jags. If they find a guy who plays like Beachum did 2 years ago at left tackle, then they've upgraded that position going into 2016 or 2017 and beyond.
Now, you get into a situation where if someone wants to offer you a second-round pick, that's a day two is a second- or third-round pick, okay? I think I'd consider that, right?
Sure.
Depending on how Beachum has looked at that point in time. But when Ryan says they could secure a day two or day three pick, rounds four through seven, all right, I'll give you my sixth-round pick. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Projected middle of the sixth-round pick. What? I don't want to give up. I wouldn't give up Luke Jokel for that, quite frankly. I'm not the biggest Luke Jokel proponent, but I think he's worth the gamble here. I'd rather take that gamble on Luke Jokel than let somebody else. What are you going to get? A year removed, Tony. That's a sixth-round pick another year from now. They might not be around to use that pick a year from now. Now, they might not be around to use Jokel a year from now either, but you can use Jokel this year probably. He may factor in a guard. He may factor in at one of the tackle positions. Guys get hurt. We're counting on, what, Parnell get a lock to play 16 games? Nobody knows, right? I mean, so to have a little depth attack, and I know, you could potentially have Josh Wells in the mix there. Still, I think Luke Jokel, with the amount of starting experience he has, I think he did get modestly better last year. I don't see them just saying, give him any draft pick I can possibly get for this guy, particularly as you laid out the situation with Beachum. There's way too many question marks right now with his
health. Just can't be comfortable enough with the left tackle position.
I'm not.
Based on what they've done to this point. And the idea of signing Beachum just gives you another hint that, look, they feel like they do need to push Jokel. And they finally brought in a guy who could at that spot. So I'd be really surprised if they didn't pick up that option on Jokel.
All right, here's a few from the text line driven by Duval Ford. One just says trade up for Ramsey. That's fine. Okay, so we were talking about trading up today. And,
sure.
And more concerned with what's the price you're willing to pay. What's the reasonable price you want to pay? The one we got here that talked about, what do you think about these guys in this order for the Jaguars draft picks, starting with Miles Jack at one. Don't know if he's going to be there. Noah Spence in the second round. Don't know and don't think he's going to be there. Ryan Kelly in the third round. Don't think he's going to be there. So, yeah, I like it. It's a good start because you're getting maybe a round to a half round to a full round of value on some of these guys right here. We mentioned Keanu Neal. He's got Jake McGee, the Florida tight end, in the last round. And a few other guys, Bronson Cafusi, who I'm not familiar with, Blake Martinez, Adam Gattis. I'll be honest with you, I'm not familiar with those guys. I'd have to look them up, and my opinion would be based on basically whatever the first scouting report I came to would be. But in terms of the top of the draft, I think you're in La La Land in terms of the reality of landing all those guys. I don't think there's a prayer to land all those guys in those spots.
No, probably not. Although you probably wouldn't have thought going into the third round the Jags would have had a shot at AJ Cann in last year's draft either. I mean, those kind of things happen. Did you think Rashad Greene was going to fall to the fifth? No. I mean, occasionally those kinds of things do happen, but it's impossible to predict. And the idea, to me, again, Noah Spence just seems like too talented a guy to get out of that.
I think somebody's taking a chance on him in the middle of the first round, even. Somebody also texted in, Brock Lesnar was the UFC heavyweight champion. He wasn't just another schmuck. I'm not saying he was, but the point being, based on the graphics that they had up on the screen while Hannah Storm was interviewing Brock Lesnar, all they discussed was WWE. Yeah.
There were no UFC.
There was no UFC anything. It was all wrestling talk. And that's just dumb, quite frankly, to be on SportsCenter.
It's a little dumb.
You know, you talk about anything else, you talk about soap operas. They're just as much a sport as wrestling, as far as I'm concerned. That when the outcome is predetermined, you're not a sport.
Let's get Hacker here to defend himself.
No, I'm not picking on Hacker. I'm right. Hacker didn't say
there's
they should
be on SportsCenter.
There's a lot
of people that love WWE, which is fine. Right. I got just, no problem with anybody enjoying what they want to enjoy.
Right.
It's SportsCenter.
Like I said, there are a lot of trending topics that SportsCenter followers discuss other than sports, and I don't want them on SportsCenter either. So that's just me. Maybe I'm in the minority. I kind of doubt it, though. I don't know. Maybe I am, because they go by, that's all they're basing it on, is social media trends and what people are talking about on Twitter.
Basically.
So, you know, I guess, look, in the end, what have we said? That when it comes to radio, the higher-ups, if you wanted to talk about eating a poop sandwich for 2 hours, if it got ratings, they'd say talk about eating a poop sandwich for the next 2 hours, right? So, I mean, you know, I guess that's the way it goes to some degree in the business. So, with that, we're not going to discuss
that. How much would you have to charge somebody to eat a poop sandwich?
Man, I don't know. Honestly, there may not be enough money, because you couldn't keep it down. You couldn't keep the first bite down.
Well, the big question would it be your poop or would it be someone else's?
See, now we've already spent more time
that
than
changes,
we should have.
That changes the value of it.
All right. If it's somebody else's poop, you're paying way more. You can take way more for it. But if it's your own, then...
Why did I say this? The worst 30 seconds of radio of all time. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Sure, they're proud to be associated with those comments right there. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Our Monday sponsor, guns4jax.com. That's the website, guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or visit them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars today. Coming back with the fan feedback spotlight on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I do love the audience, the listeners of Jaguars today, the participants particularly who give us feedback on our very many platforms electronically, via the social media, the text line, you name it, on the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. Someone tied the whole last segment perfectly together. Would you rather have Luke Jokel or a poop sandwich? There you have it. I should have thought that myself. But I guess I'd rather have Jokel, I'd have to say. I have an aversion to the latter. And I'm not sure I'd want a mid-round pick over him in the 2017 draft if you got to wait a year. I think Luke Jokel will be a member of this football team this year.
I would think so.
That's where we are on that whole thing. And Ryan may feel that way, too. We're talking about just Ryan O'Halloran's blog over the weekend on Jacksonville.com in the Florida Times Union website. And, you know, he may just be saying, I think this is what they should do, not what I think they will do. But there you have it, moving along. Somebody also mentioned to Tyler that P. Diddy questions the placement of poker on ESPN. I would rather see, I think poker as more of a good argument to be on ESPN than pro wrestling does, because poker, the outcome is not predetermined. It is actually a competition of some kind. It was the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network, Tony. Mm-hmm. They used to have just god-awful things on there, what they have on there. I used to actually, I say god-awful, I like some of them. I like the Highland Games. They don't do the Highland Games anymore,
no,
do they?
Any of that stuff I don't mind.
I like the Highland Games. It's good.
Yeah. The World's Strongest Man, all that stuff, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, World's Strongest Man, that was a competition. That's kind of a sport, right? You're lifting weights. It's weightlifting. That's an Olympic sport. Yeah. So
any of that kind of stuff, whatever. Doesn't bother me.
Jeff in Jack's Beach asks, why do we have to decide on Luke's fifth-year option now rather than next May? That's the way the system's built. It's part of the collective bargaining process. First rounders, you get a four-year contract, and a lot of them guaranteed money now. I mean, Luke Jokel's contract was fully guaranteed when he signed it. And, you know, for the high draft picks, you get that concession. But the team wants to have, if we're going to spend a high first-round pick on you, we want to have control over you for a fifth year potentially. And so, okay, we'll give you that option to pick up a fifth year at a relatively club-friendly price. It's going to be a big raise, but still
sure.
More than you get on the open market if he's a good player. But at the same time, for the player, the concession to the players is you have to decide by May going into the fourth year. So you can't drag the process out of it. It's May next year, and then you cut the guy loose and you don't pick up the option. Well, then free agency has passed. All the holes are filled. All the teams have their answer, you know, presumably at that position, and that's what you're talking about. You know?
Yeah, again, it's one of the few things the players want.
Yeah, and that's a good.
You know,
I think it's reasonable.
I do too.
I'd rather see it.
It's logical.
I'd rather see it. Let's announce it prior to the start of the season, like right around the time of last cuts, because then you understand the composition of your roster going forward. But I guess at least you get through free agency and the draft, right? And it's shortly after the draft, then you have to determine, okay, where does this guy factor in our plans? Not only
right.
this year, but a year from now.
Right.
That's reasonable. All right, today. Fan Feedback Spotlight, the question brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Let me head on over to the Facebook page so I can read this one verbatim. Would you be okay with the Jaguars trading up to get their top player in the draft, and what would you be willing to pay? What kind of a response did we get on the tweet box?
Here's what we got from Eric. No, I don't think so. Not up. Will cost too much when we need a lot of help. Still keep that pick. From Daniel, no, because the Jags are not one piece away from making their D elite. They need to keep those picks. From Cristiano, no, the second coming of Lawrence Taylor, not in this draft. I got an article about that here in just a moment we can look at on ESPN specifically. From Duval Doom, yes, somebody really smart said give up the back half of this year's draft to get there. Not sure who that would have been.
I don't know any smart guys who said that, but I know Doom did.
From Sheffy, we got absolutely, and Shad Yacht. From Joey, I wouldn't give up more than a fourth-round pick, so probably I wouldn't be moving up. Hashtag best available player for depth. From Irish Jaguar, I'm okay with whatever Dave does. A fourth-round pick to jump a spot or two sounds reasonable. From Richard, trade up only for Jack, no one else. Hashtag Jag of the North. And from Jason, if Cleveland doesn't go quarterback, yes. Give up a fourth to move up and take the highest guy on your board.
We got about like a dozen to 20-ish people that have a serious problem with workplace productivity when we're on the air. Okay, we love you. But, man, there's a hardcore group of tweeters and Facebook posters that are not getting a whole lot done between 10 and noon.
Ole Miss Pro Day is going on right now, and a lot of eyes are on Laquan Treble, the wide receiver who did
sure.
not run his 40, just ran his first attempt. What did you guess his goal time was?
His goal time?
Or what do you think he was expecting to run?
I think he would hope to run anything in the 4.5.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.65 on an unofficial.
Yeah, I would think.
That's
slow.
About what people expected
right.
him to run.
That's why anything in the 4.5s, he would have been saying, at my size, hey, that's a really good number. What did Alshon Jeffrey run? Can we look that up, Tyler? I'm going to guess, was Jeffrey kind of
I thought
quick?
We looked at this and it was
we
faster
did.
Than
was
you
faster
thought
than
it was.
We were right? I was surprised at
4.48 for Alshon.
Yeah.
I guess that's a pretty good time for a guy because I think size-wise, I kind of squint and see those guys. I think he makes perfect sense for the Giants, Tony. We're talking about this on Sirius over the weekend. You know, you look at Odell Beckham Jr. and not much else really at wide receiver. They lose Reuben Randall. I'm not saying it's a major loss. Complete unknown with Victor Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
You get that big-bodied guy there at number 10. Now, they may prefer Ezekiel Elliott, and that may make sense as well for that offense, but I think one of those offensive playmaker pieces you could definitely see coming off the board with the 10th pick in the draft. Let me look at a couple here on Facebook. Josh Wiggins said, absolutely not. Apart from Blake Bortles, Dave Caldwell has not proven that he can consistently hit on first-round picks. I'll say this. He's 50-50, isn't he? I mean, because you can't, what do you say? Fowler's not a bust. He's not a hit. He's a complete unknown.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't have proven anything with Fowler because he got hurt basically first time he stepped on the field. So I would say, was Joker worth the number 2 overall pick? No. He wasn't the second best player in that draft. Was Blake worth the number 3 based on last year? I'd say yes, he was. I mean, you got to pay to get a quarterback. And there have been a lot of quarterbacks drafted in the top 10 that never had one season that rivaled what Blake Bortles did last year. So I'd say he's 50-50 right now. And that's, you can argue that that's accurate what he said. He hasn't proven he can consistently hit on them. I don't think he's proven he's a consistent whiffer on those first round picks either. So, Marshall said, wow, it would depend on how Miles Jack runs in his pro day and his medical reports. And if then, flip the first and give up a fifth and sixth round pick. I hope we don't have to do it. I hope he just falls to us. Just getting drunk on Jaguars Today Kool-Aid. I love it, baby. Hashtag Jaguars Today, hashtag Jags Pride. Thank you, Marshall. Seth said, this year's first, next year's first, 4 years of first. Go get Miles Jack! I think he's kidding. I think that's hyperbole. Adrian said, depends on the price. Well, that's why we're asking you. What would you be willing to pay? He says, my gut feeling is Bosa, Ramsey, and Jack won't be sitting there. Please let one be there at number five. Damon said, swap this year's first round and give up one of my sixth round picks and my seventh, because I'll only be moving up from like five to maybe two or three. I don't think a sixth and a seventh gets it done.
Probably not.
You know, I think
probably looking at having to give up a mid-round pick.
Again, the flip that Chris Burke proposed, I think it was like a third for a fifth, something like that. You know, and okay, I could. You know, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
You know, if you're going to move up, even if it's a spot, that's sometimes, you know, it's a steep price to pay, but you secure the guy that you want. And then Kevin said, nope. Would not be okay with it. Not going to happen. Tony said won't happen. It's not the question.
No.
The question is, would you like it to happen? Apparently, I'm guessing based on your answer, it would be no. Although if I was doing a logic puzzle, you saying it won't happen does not preclude the fact that you may want it to happen. Okay. So, to answer the damn question. Come on. We appreciate all the feedback, whether it's directly answering the question or kind of going off on a tangent as
sure.
well.
And I know a couple of the answers that we got in talked about being worried about, you know, what's going to be available to the Jags at five. And that's part of what goes into this question is, what do they need to do to go get their favorite player? And especially at that edge rush position, which we talked about being a priority. And ESPN put up an article this morning. We only have a couple minutes here left to go over this. But Football Outsiders, with their annual sack seer projections, which brings in a bunch of different, basically, numbers to figure out to – they project – how many sacks these guys coming into the draft are going to get in their first 5 years of their NFL career. And they rank the players based on where they are with Scouts, Inc., and based on how many sacks they think they're going to get. Some of the hits that they've had since they started doing this in 1998, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Justin Houston, they pointed out as guys that they thought would be stars at this next level. They also pointed out that they thought Deion Jordan, Marcus Smith, Jarvis Jones would be vastly overrated when it came to those stats. So they've had their misses, but they've had their hits too.
Okay.
When it comes to this thing, their top five this year in this particular stat, number one, Joey Bosa.
Okay. How many?
Projected at 26.8 sacks through 5 years. Now
what?
He's.
Ugh? Can I just say ugh?
Right. I mean, but that's what you're talking. And his similar historical prospects, Justin Smith, Melvin Ingram.
Now, let me say this. Justin Smith is a baller.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Justin Smith's value is not measured in sacks alone. Justin Smith is a man child. Go listen to, I mean, he's retired now.
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
Talk to anyone who watched Justin Smith play who knows the league. That guy was a badass, okay? So I would take a Justin Smith type player, but it's not the pass rush impact you're looking for. Melvin Ingram's dealt with injury.
Yeah.
So,
throughout his career.
Yeah.
So Joey Bosa, they have number one. Largely on the strength of the fact that Scouts, Inc. has him projected as potentially number one pick in the draft. So that helps him in that, too, because that's kind of a tiebreaker with this thing. Because number two on the list, with the same number of projected stats at 26.8 through 5 years, is Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, the number 19 overall prospect. They compare him to Brian Arakpo and Barkevious Mingo. I don't know if I'd want the Mingo comparison.
Right, I'll take one of those. Right. The first one, please.
But you got Bosa and Floyd. There is one and two. Third, they have Emmanuel Ogbah at 22.9 sacks, a number 45 overall prospect.
Not as much buzz around him right now.
No. Adalius Thomas and Justin Houston. Talk about guys on the opposite end of it.
Man, Adalius Thomas, before he got hurt, was as multifaceted a player as you would find maybe in the NFL.
And I think with their historical prospects, they're saying going into the draft, these are the guys we felt like they were most like going into the draft, as opposed to what they actually saw him do in their career. Number four, Shaq Lawson, 22.9 sacks they project through his first 5 years. 16 overall prospect, Whitney Merciless, Jamal Anderson, the two guys they listed as similar to him. Noah Spence at five with 20.8 sacks through 5 years. Number 29 overall prospect, Derek Morgan, Bjorn Warner. The two names
at
that he's compared to.
At least one of the names that all these guys are compared to is absolutely terrifying.
Yes. at six, they have Kemele Correa from Boise State, 17.5 through 5 years. Number 31 overall prospect, Victor Butler and Nick Reed. And it gets even more depressing from there. Bronson Cafusi, who's a guy who's being talked about as maybe a third-round pick option, at least for the Jags, as a pass rusher. Number 94 overall prospect, 15 sacks through 5 years they project for him. Charles Grant, Devin Taylor. The rest of the top 10, James Couser out of Southern Utah, Shalik Calhoun, who's a name that we have heard from time to time, sure, out of Michigan State, being compared to Shea McClellan and Baraka Atkins. And number 10 on the list, just from a local variety standpoint here, Jordan Jenkins out of Georgia, 13.5 sacks through 5 years.
I mean, look, I don't know if they're ultra-conservative
right,
on these projections.
It's a picture of, look, guys don't come in the league and dominate to start, basically.
Usually.
It just doesn't happen that way, generally speaking, so the numbers are going to be a little bit subdued. But I think it also points to the fact that this is a strong year for interior pass rush. I don't know how strong a year it is for edge rush.
Right, and damn it, man, I want more than 26.5 sacks in the first 5 years from anybody I'm picking to be my edge rusher at number 5 overall.
Absolutely.
All right, that does it for us today. Welcome back to Fat Tony. Go out and when are you going to see Batman v Superman?
It's either today or tomorrow afternoon.
All right,
not sure
so
yet.
We can discuss. Still, we'll go spoiler free for the rest of the week, and then you're on your own, people.